We're going to continue on our School is in Session series. We've been talking a little bit about the fall is here, and man, have you guys been out, maybe either outside the city or just in some of the boulevards lately? The trees are amazing right now, but it's fall, and I love this time of year. The kids are starting back to school, and you know, for better or worse, we've been talking about that. Some kids love it, and some kids just can't wait till the end of the day every day. In fact, I picked up Toby on Friday, and we were going to hang out with Bryce and just talk a little bit about life and about God's Word a little bit. And I said, "Toby, how you doing?" He said, "Good. I'm tired." And, "Oh, why are you tired, bud? It's Friday. This is a long day." I said, "Man, I hear you. Sometimes Fridays are just long days." Because he said, "Yeah, because you're just waiting for the end of it." Fall is here. School is in session. We've been talking about how life is a series of lessons that we can learn. It's a series of sessions that we can derive some, not just meaning to life, but derive, God, what is your plan for mine? God, how do you want to use mine? So today we're talking about Lit 101, and for some of you, when we talk about literature, you perk up a little bit, and for some of you, when we talk about literature, your shoulders sink a little bit, okay? Last week, I knew I had some of our people when we talked about shop class, right? Like, all right, I know there's a few of you that perk up when you hear that. Some of you love literature, I know, and some, maybe it's not what gets you going in the morning. But we're going to talk a little bit about Lit 101, and you know, I was thinking about my grade 11 English class, and it was a literature course. We had a great teacher, Miss Robin. She was eccentric, but she was great. She was a great, great teacher, and she taught us things about literature. She taught us about all different kinds of genre literature. You know, of course, I knew about fiction and nonfiction already, but you know, about fantasy, about the classics. She didn't teach us about Western novels. I got that from my dad, but I'm so appreciative of my dad for teaching me about Western novels, right? About the genre of Western literature. But she taught us how to look for things within literature to help us understand what the meanings of what the author was trying to get across. And you know, I got it to an extent, but there was a lot of it I just didn't get. My mind couldn't go quite that abstract. And I'll give you an example. There was a young lady by the name of Bobby Thompson. Yes, her name was Bobby, and she graduated number 3 in our class of 327 graduates. Number 3. She was a pretty bright, bright young lady. And we were sitting there. We had read one of the classics, right? And anybody here read Huck Finn, Huckleberry Finn? You read? Yeah, okay, a few of you. Good, good. Well, one of the classics and one of the required readings. And we were talking about this book one day in class, and Miss Robin used to open up to people and say, "Okay, who wants to tell me about some of the literary nuances that you found in this chapter?" Man, I was always sitting on my hands, right? Like, I had no clue about literary nuances, but Bobby seemed to get it. And she had us turn to one specific page in this one specific chapter, and I'd read it for you, but I don't remember what chapter it was, what paragraph it was, but I remember it was a very long paragraph set off by a whole number of commas. And she said, "You know, I think what the author did here was, it was a paragraph, but it was one hugely long sentence set off with a whole bunch of commas." She said, what the author's doing here is making it feel like it's the ripple of the waves on the river with all these commas." And I was like, "Wow. Wow, you've got to be kidding me." And of course, my literary teacher, she lit up. "That's beautiful, Bobby. Yes, I've never seen that before." Well, of course you've never seen that before. Nobody in their right mind would ever see that. When we talk about literature, sometimes if you're like me, I can bring back memories of grade 11. But you know, literature can be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I think most of us know this, right? Today we're talking about wisdom literature. And it's literature that we find in God's Word. And it's different from Huckleberry Finn, right? Not only is it not nonfiction, but wisdom literature is something that we've been given from God to help us through this life. Huckleberry Finn's a great book. It's a classic. I've read lots of classics in my day. I'm sure you've read many classics in your day when you were in school, maybe when you're out of school. But it's been given to us by God so that we can go through this life and say, "God, here are some of the standards that you have set. Here are some of the even moral standards that you've set. Here are some of the things that you teach us in this life. And we're going to talk about wisdom today. Not just wisdom literature, but we're talking about wisdom. And if you want to turn, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. But before we get to Proverbs, I just want to read you one scripture. Proverbs chapter 1 is where we're going to start. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 says, God gave Solomon wisdom, very great insight and understanding, as vast as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the east, greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. Now let me tell you why that's significant. Because most of the book of Proverbs is attributed to Solomon. This is wisdom that Solomon received from God. Okay? This is not the wisdom of Solomon. This is God's wisdom given to us. Okay? And some of it, much of it, through King Solomon. Now, the reason why it's significant that we look in 1 Kings chapter 4 is that, one, God gave Solomon the wisdom. Number two, why is it significant? Why would they mention that he had more wisdom than anyone in the east or anyone in Egypt? Well, because the east, most people think, east of the Jordan River, a place famous for its wisdom literature. Famous for his wisdom sayings. Egypt, a place famous for the wisdom, for the wise things, the proverbs that they put out. Okay? 1 Kings tells us that the wisdom of Solomon far surpassed any of those people. Those people had lived through life, they had learned some things, and they had put those things together, they had worded those things in a way that just made sense about life. Okay? They put them together in these proverbs, in this wisdom literature. And it just made sense. But the wisdom of Solomon, there was something different about it. Something elevated it above them. And in fact, if you look further in 1 Kings 4, at the very last verse in chapter 4, verse 34, it said, people came from everywhere, sent by every king on earth who had heard of his wisdom to listen to Solomon's wisdom. So not only, it's not just the Israelites who thought, you know what, yeah, totally, our wisdom is so much better than your wisdom. Eastern wisdom, you got nothing. We got all the wisdom. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is that this wisdom that God is imparting to his servant is so amazing. It's so applicable to life that people are sending kings, are sending representatives to go sit under the teaching and listen to this man. This is wisdom given from God. All right, now, another step we need to take. Not only are the Proverbs given to us for life, not only are the Proverbs given to us for a bit more insight into who God is, who his character is, and what he wants our character to be, what he wants to make us, but it's accessible to us. It's not just this book that's in the Bible that you think, oh, it's in there, and I know it's in there. It's accessible to us. We're going to touch that a little bit more here in just a moment. But let's go to Proverbs 1. We're going to start out the very first part of the book, Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and being instructed, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving wise instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. A wise man will listen and increase his learning, and a discerning man will attain guidance for understanding a proverb or parable, the words of the wise, and their riddles. If you sit under this teaching, you're going to learn something if you receive it, if you take it in. You'll not just learn something, but we're meant to apply it. Again, we're going to get there in a little bit. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord. The word fear for us in our culture, and we've touched on this verse a few times over the last few years, fear for us has a much different connotation than what we have here in Proverbs 1:7. When we say fear of the Lord, when we think fear, you may be thinking of maybe your favorite or your least favorite Halloween movie. Okay? You may be thinking of those spiders that seem to appear out of nowhere that just scare the living daylights out of you. When we think of fear, we think of something that's bad, something that's evil, something that may be dangerous to us, may hurt us. This fear is a better word, not a better word, but there's no one word that we can use in our English language to explain this word that's used in Proverbs 1:7 and other places throughout Scripture. There's no one English word, but let me give you a few attempts here, okay? This awe and reverence, this worshipful submission of God, fear of the Lord, worshipful submission of ourselves to God, our obedient respect, right? If I really respect God and who He is, then I'm going to do my dead level best to obey Him. It's an obedient respect. It's a worshipful submission. It's an awe. It's a reverence. This fear of the Lord. And it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Well, knowledge is information retained. Knowledge is information retained. Wisdom is the ability to use that knowledge. The ability to use and apply that knowledge in a meaningful way in life. That's what wisdom is. We can have all the knowledge in the world and yet live completely unwise lives. All right. Proverbs, the purpose of Proverbs is to give us instruction. But the only way to gain real wisdom, to gain true knowledge, is to start by fearing God. To have an awe and a reverence for God. To have an obedient respect for Him. To have a worshipful submission to Him. Moving on. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom begins to be personified here. Okay? Wisdom calls out in the street. She raises her voice in the public square. She cries out above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. How long, foolish ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking and you fools hate knowledge? If you turn to my discipline, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. Wisdom calls out in the streets here. We see in Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom is calling out in the streets. Wisdom is accessible. It's not something that's hidden. It's something that can only be given by God, and we're going to get there again in just a few moments. It's only something that can be given by God. Godly wisdom can only be given by Him, but it's something He wants to give. He's waiting to give, and in fact, wisdom calls out to us. And yet it says here, there are many, many in the streets that just continue to deny that voice, continue to say, no, I'm going to live my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. In fact, when it talks about these foolish people, it's a lack of discipline in speech that marks immaturity. People that just talk and have no control of their tongue. Those that aren't acknowledging wisdom and its teaching. When I say wisdom is available to us, we say that much of the book of Proverbs is attributed to Solomon, to King Solomon. And back in this day, when a lot of this wisdom literature was written down, wisdom came from everywhere. It was amazing. It didn't just come from kings like Solomon, who God had given great wisdom when Solomon asked him. And God gave him, granted him this great wisdom, greater than, wiser than any other person. It wasn't just dignitaries, although dignitaries and scribes were known to be wise. Prophets of God. But when I was studying Proverbs and I was preparing for this message in particular, you know what people have found as they've gone through history? They found that wisdom isn't just for kings, it's not just for scribes, not just for dignitaries, for people high up in government, but it's for teachers. It's for those that educate people. Wisdom is to be found in schools. It's for parents. Okay, how many of you figured out once you were a little bit more grown up that your parents were much more wise than you ever thought they were? Absolutely. It's not just for kings and dignitaries. It's not just for the highly educated. Wisdom is available to anyone. It calls out in the streets. God wants to impart His wisdom to us. But He's telling us, first, you need to submit under me. First, you need to get into a quiet place where you can listen to me. And the things that I do teach you, don't just store them up, use them. Do the things that I say. Moving on, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding, furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, stopping there. If you seek for it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, if you will call out and ask me for wisdom, we're going to get to the part where God will give it, but I want to take just a moment here and tell you why I have some of these things here, okay? Now, there are a lot of things in this life that many of us love to do, and we spend a lot of time and energy and resources doing them, okay? Now, I've got here some things I love to get into the woods. Okay? Not a mystery to many of you, right? I love getting into the woods. I love looking for animals, okay? And potentially filling my freezer with those animals, all right? But, you know, there's a lot of things that a lot of gear that I have just to enable me to do that. This whole pack is full of calls and knives and all kinds of things. It's got a little stool here just in case I find myself in a beautiful piece of bush that I can just whip a stool out and sit for a couple of hours. I've got binoculars here just in case something steps out from a long way off that I need to inspect a little bit closer, right? I've got gear out the wazoo. I've got, you gotta look the part, right? Like here in Alberta, it gets white a lot of the time, okay? And so you have this stuff that makes you look like snow and branches so that the things that you're pursuing can't see you, or at least maybe they look past you, right? You know, of course, you've got your toque, okay? What Albertan doesn't own a good toque, right? You've got all these things that you use. You've got bibs that keep you dry and warm. And actually, these happen to be Rachel's bibs. Yes, I married a girl that likes to hunt. How blessed am I? I mean, beyond just being Rachel, she likes to hunt. We have all these things. You know, maybe hunting isn't it for you. Maybe it's something else for you. But there are these things that we love to do and we pursue them. You know what? We even have tools for hunting that it's a camera that you can put on a tree or a post or something and you can leave it there just to snap pictures of the things that might go there when you're not sitting there. Tobes, can you bring up a couple of those pictures for me, bud? Here's a couple of them. We're so focused and we think about hunting so much, we don't even want to miss the stuff that walks by at 2 in the morning. Okay? Oh, yeah. Well, that may be the picture of wisdom. When you think of wisdom, that's not what came up on my game camera. All right. These are pictures of wisdom. We think of an old man with a long beard. All right, Tobes, let's go to the next picture. Think of an old woman who's lived a long time, a lot of days. Okay? I gave Toby the wrong order. I was going to go here a second. But an old lady, right? Let's go to the next one. A woman who just laughing at the younger generation saying, oh, if they only knew. Wisdom. All right, let's keep going, Tobes. All right, here we go. We have these cameras that we can set out. And the catch thing, now this is, you know, obviously this is a bear. But you know when this picture was taken? I can tell you exactly when this picture was taken. July 12th, 2015 at 1713 seconds is when that bear walked in front of that camera. It's amazing. Okay, Tobes, let's go to the next one. Here's the real reason why we want to have those cameras up so that we can know that at 4 in the morning a deer walked by this trail. There's all kinds of stuff that we do to pursue our hobbies, to pursue our passions. You might even say that when it comes to hunting, I seek after it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. What do you seek out like silver and search for like hidden treasure? God tells us, he tells me, he tells you, Bo, if you would put the effort. Hunting, okay, I don't know where you stand. Hunting for me is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a fun thing. It helps me unwind. It helps me get away. But if I could take the same energy, hunting that I look for, like hidden treasure, and put it into searching out and calling out to God for wisdom, gotta God, I need your wisdom here. Many of you are going through situations right now, or you have gone, or you will go through situations that you will need the wisdom of God. Fair enough? In fact, I would even venture to say we need the wisdom of God every single day. And God says, if you do this, if you call out for it, if you look for it like hidden treasure, verse 5, Proverbs 2, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. He gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. He is a shield for those who live with integrity, so that he may guard the path of justice and protect the way of his loyal followers. God wants to give us his wisdom. In fact, he's given us a whole book, Book of Proverbs, wisdom. These are wise things for us. He wants to impart wisdom, but Southwinds, followers of Jesus, we must pursue him. We must submit ourselves to him and to his teaching. Now again, what good does it do for me to have a camera that can catch deer that are coming by at 4 in the morning so I can see, okay, there's obviously deer in that area. Maybe I should go spend some time in that area. What good does it do me to have a sweet camouflage toque, to have really awesome camouflage coat, to have a pack full of tools that will help me in the field? What good does it do me if I have all those things, if I have all these tools, but I don't ever go do anything about it? Is my freezer ever going to get full? No. Unless I have some charitable friends. Never. What good does it do us if we come here, if I come here every Sunday, and I learn, if I open up God's word, maybe even every day, and I learn and I retain lots of information, I have lots of knowledge, but is never expressed here? Your freezer is never going to get full. We're never going to be able to live out the wisdom that God wants to impart to us if we don't learn to seek after his wisdom like we would look for buried treasure, like I would look for a deer in the bush. We will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. I know there are some of us that have areas of our lives that we need wisdom right now. And I'm praying for you right now. But the good news this morning is God wants to give wisdom. And he wants to give it freely. He's written it down for us. But we need him to help interpret it. We need him to help live it out. Let me just read a couple of Proverbs here. Proverbs 11:1, dishonest scales are detestable to the Lord, but an accurate weight is his delight. Living with integrity is important to God. What does that look like in my life today? None of us, I don't think any of us would say living with integrity is not important to me. Maybe you would, but it's important to God. If we know that it's important to God, what would that do for the way that we go about our day, for the way that we conduct business, for the way that we raise our kids? What does it do? Proverbs 13:16. Every sensible person acts knowledgeably, but a fool displays his stupidity. That's a good one. Right? One more time. Every sensible person acts knowledgeably, but a fool displays his stupidity. You think, Bo, these are very elementary. I'm just going to say, the more that we will retain these things, and the more that we will let these proverbs, this wisdom literature, mold and shape our lives, the more we'll see, okay, that's not so elementary. It is elementary, but it's a whole different thing living it out. Wisdom. Literature. It's a gift from God as we pursue him. So I'm going to say this morning, let's lay our lives before his word and ask him for wisdom. Am I someone that understands the teachings of God, but not someone that applies it? Am I someone that can quote proverb after proverb after proverb, or verse after verse after verse of God's word, and yet, God, how much time have I spent saying, but how, God, how do you want me to apply that? Am I someone that seeks hunting like treasure, or seeks whatever it is, like hidden treasures, but God, I give you an hour on Sunday, and that's it. I pray before my meals, and I thank you for my food, but God, I can't say that I seek after you and your wisdom like hidden treasure. This is not meant to be a guilt trip, but what it is meant to do is convict us so that we can begin to seek after God like hidden treasure. Am I someone that understands the teachings of God? God, I feel like I kind of know a bunch of this stuff, but I don't think it affects me. Do I know a lot of the teaching of God, but not someone that applies it? Or maybe today you say, you know what, I've never given God a try. I've never given it a try to say, God, I want your wisdom. Your wisdom for my life, for my kids' life. Your wisdom as I go to work. Will I submit myself to God's gift of wisdom today? You may be here and you may feel far from God. But we always want you to know at Southwinds that God wants to be close to you. He wants to give you his wisdom. He wants to lead you through this life. He wants to lead us through this life. And he will do it. But we must pursue him. We've got to.